Prakim Dal and Hay of our Masechta are dedicated to Tefillah. Perek Dalet begins with some of the important technical dinim, the parameters of Tefillah in terms of Zmanim. Perek Hay begins with focus in Tefillah. First Mishnah, in the fifth parak, the bottom of Laman of Beis, in Omdim Mispalev Tov Kovid Rosh, a Jew has to enter into Tefillah out of a sense of seriousness, not sad, not sorrowful, not morbid, the Kovid Rosh. You realize the gravity. I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is not a chill. This is something real. This is like a serious endeavor. I'm about to enter into conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah goes on to famously say there were tzaddikim in earlier generations. Tanaim are saying, Chasim Rishonim. This goes back a long time, probably most likely to the days of the Bais Sheni, maybe even before, who had the very, very extensive hakana for tefillah. They would be meditating for a long time in order to have proper kavana. And then finally, the Mishnah returns that's not obligatory. Kovid Rosh is expected for everyone. Chasim Rishonim, that's obviously being chasidus. But then the Mishnah ends with something, once again, is normative halacha, required. Filu ha-melech shol b'shlomo, here we are again, the bottom of the Mishnah, last line of the Mishnah, on Lamed Beis. Filu ha-melech shol b'shlomo, lo yeshivanu. The Jew in the middle of tefillah, which again is specifically Shmoneh Esrei, in the language of Chazal, the Jew would be mispalel Shmoneh Esrei. Even if the king says hello to you, don't respond. Remember, this is plays off in a certain sense of what we had seen in the beginning, the Mishnah, beginning of the second part. There was a difference between being shol b'shlomo versus being meishiv. So even if the king is the one who's being shol b'shlomo, you just need to be meishiv. Even that, and it's the king. Lo yishivam. This is not shema. This is Shmoneh Esrei. But no, even the highest level of covenant here, Mamash King, you cannot even be Mesh. If you nachash karach al kevo, or if there's a snake wrapping itself around your heel, around your ankle, as you are davening Shmoneh Esrei, you feel something slippery and slithery, continue Shmoneh Esrei. Wow. The king is talking to you. You totally block it out, you continue Shmoneh Esrei. The snake is wrapping itself around your foot. Block it out, you continue Shmoneh Esrei. You are talking to the ultimate king of kings. You're in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else gets blocked out. So first, a very practical halacha l'maisa qualification. Tosus is a series of Tosus in. The Gemara obviously goes in order. So the Gemara only gets the Mishnah on Daf Lamed. The Gemara only gets up to the analyzing the Sefer of the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, Lamed Gim, Lamed Aleph. So it says the Melech speaking to you, the Nachash Karach Al Keva. So the Gemara, before you get Tosfos, the Gemara already makes important, two Amorah make important the halachic qualification. Feel now, Shal B'Shlomo, the bottom of Beis, Amid Beis, Yosef says, only Malchus Yisrael. Lo Shana L'Malchus Yisrael. The Mishnah says that a Jew is meant to ignore the king speaking to him and focus only on Ribon Shalom, the middle of Tefillah. That's only if the human king who is addressing you is a Jewish king. The Malchei Achron Posek. If it's a non-Jewish king, so then you do stop. Why? Is there more of a chi of covet towards a non-Jewish king than a Jewish king? Shavi Hargena. Rashi says that. Because the Jewish king, he'll be very insulted, but the assumption is that the Jewish king recognizes what Shmoneh Esrei is and will understand that you're davening Shmoneh Esrei. It'll be incredibly awkward. It's an awesome breach of protocol. It's hard to imagine, that it's a very awkward situation. But it's not because of nefesh. Okay, you're going to have to take the heat of being this incredibly awkward situation, and that doesn't warrant breaching your Shmoneh Esrei. But Shmoneh Esrei is not from the Gimel Chamur. Shmoneh Esrei is not Dov to Gov Nevesh. So you absolutely do stop in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei to save your life. So I would add, those who have learned, looks like one or two people in the back may be wondering, if you learn Sefer Melachim, you know that, is that without the question of your friend?
No.
No. You learn say from Malachim, you know, there were unfortunately many Malchi Yisrael who were terrible Rishon and who probably wouldn't give a hoot about your Shema Yisrael. If your Rav Ben Avot is speaking to you and you're Malach Shema, you probably should be posted and say hello before he kills you. Or if Achav or Menashe, Malach Yehuda, is speaking to you, yes, I think you should stop Malach Shema Yisrael and say hello to save your life. But the point is, if it's pikuach nefesh, then pikuach nefesh is doach hashmona esrei. But if there's no risk to your life, it may be risk to your reputation, maybe risk to your social standing. It may be bad for you, but it's not dangerous. So then you have no right to break your shmona esrei. And then that's a comment that with Yosef the Amora makes about Bambez and Bez. Let's see what Rebbe Rav Shesha says, and then see the number of hands. Let's take some questions. Let's just first see the parallel line. If you go on top of Lamajim and Lidal, after the first two dots, on the line about Nachash Karacha Akeva, Rav Shesha says something very parallel to what Rav Yosef said about the Melech. Losh Amr Rav Shesha, Loshan will get on top of Lamajim and Lidal, Loshan al Nachash, only a snake. But Akira, posts it. But if it's a scorpion, then you do stop. His assumption is that the snake does not pose a lethal risk. Maybe because you have to figure out why. Maybe because most snakes look scary, but if exactly if you know your snakes, which that's a big if, but if you're enough of an outdoorsman that you recognize the snakes in the area, so you'll recognize which snakes are actually poisonous and which are not. If you're in the state of New Jersey, I think the only two poisonous snakes in the state of New Jersey are the eastern rattlesnake and the something or other copperhead. Yeah. You have to work hard to find them in New Jersey, to go deep into particular forests. So if it's just a garden variety garden snake, so they may spook you, but it's not actually dangerous. Again, if you know your snakes, you don't know your snakes, so then it's maybe a self-exceptional lavash, it's any snake. But if you know your snakes, okay, this is not dangerous. But a scorpion is an immediate present danger. So you're... The snake, a non-venomous snake, wrapping itself around your ankle is a very unnerving situation. But it's not actually, rationally speaking, a dangerous situation. No pikuach nefesh, no safek sakana. So then you have to keep down the shmona esrei. But the akrav is a sakana. So then you do have to break shmona esrei. And Tosa goes on to say, the Yerushalmi seems to say, it's also a question of, I think what Avichai was saying before, nachash behavior, what Shai was saying. Even if it's a poisonous snake, if you know enough about snakes, snakes aren't necessarily interested in biting you if you're still. And then Yerushalmi says you have to know something about snake behavior. If the snake presents itself in a particular way, it's rearing up. If it's nachash martia lavo kenegdo, Tosa says in Lo Gimel Alf, b'shem Yerushalmi, then you are posing. If it looks like it's ready to attack you, so then you can't assume that you're safe, and then you do have to be posek even for the snake. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, and that's the Gemara. The Mishnah says you're not mafsek in your Shmona Esrei, even if the lahashiv to a king, even to escape a snake. The Gemara explains Yosef Sheshas, we're not talking about a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, of course, is Doche Shmona Esrei, but as long as you're confident that your life is not at risk, then you do have to maintain your Shmona Esrei despite the fact that there's some very unnerving things happening around you. Questions? Avichai, you have a question?
The Yerushalmi answered it. My question was, why would the Nachash be after the Melech if Melech was a bigger fish? But if we say that, you have to know something about snakes. That's a good point.
Okay, that might be why Nachash comes second. It might also be that this king comes first because the king is parallel to the case from the Mishnah and Parachani of Meshev, Shaul, and Meshev, Pnei Yir, Pnei Akavot. Here's Meshev to Amalek, and still, and then we give another case that's similar but doesn't parallel other cases. Could be. I'm glad you're thinking about that question. Yeah, Huda.
Does any Gemara elaborate on how much you should posek for a non-Jewish king? Like, should you just do like a little like wave or say hi or ask him how like his day was yesterday? Like how much should you be posting for him to not kill you?
So the Gemara does. If you we just saw one line of the Gemara, the bottom line of the Gemara goes on to discuss this some more. And the Gemara seems to say you have to figure out the situation. You have to assess the situation and figure out what you need. And there may be a case, the Gemara says, sometimes you could very quickly finish up your Shema Esrei, you're near the end of Shema Esrei, you think you can, and the situation is such you have a little time, right? Or maybe you need to start right away. Presumably also, how much do you have to say that you're going to assess the situation? You have to engage with the king enough that your life is not in danger. Again, it's gonna depend your assessment of the details of the who, what, when, where, and why. Tosis goes on to then talk about the following. Tosis goes on to point out another halacha l'maisa point. The Mishnah is focused on, and the Mishnah and the Gemara are focused on the lechatchila question, as in, what should I do now? Should I keep davening Shema Esrei, or should I stop and run away from the snake or scorpion? Should I continue davening Shema Esrei, or should I stop and engage in conversation with this monarch? That's the lechatchila question. What do I do now? Tosis raises is also a b'di'evet question, literally b'di'evet, b'sha'asa. What I do with the aftermath? Specifically, if I keep davening Shema Esrei, so there is no aftermath. Okay, keep davening Shema Esrei. And the aftermath is the chum tzar agra. Mishnah says in Perek Yavis, very important Mishnah, haschar lefi hatzar, as the Rambam translates it in Hilchos Deis, I believe. To do the right thing when it's really hard, the harder it is to do the right thing, the more schar there is, the more valuable that act of doing the right thing is. So to have contact, to daven Shema Esrei in normal circumstances, you get a lot of schar. To daven Shema Esrei despite extraordinary circumstances, there's a Melech Yisrael talking to you, and you're ignoring your Daven Shema Esrei. There, the aftermath is extraordinary schar. Okay. But let's go on to the other case. Melech Akum, Akrav. A case where I was supposed to breach my Shema Esrei. So a fellow's in the middle of Tchav HaShofar, and he sees a scorpion, so he runs. Runs however far he needs to go in order to be safe from the scorpion. Or he goes and gets his scorpion killing gear and kills the scorpion. What does he ever needs to do to eliminate the threat, to eliminate the risk? And then. Now that's the Bidyama question. To now what? Tosa says, aha. Milo Matsinu and Pasak, Sheyachzar LaRosh. We don't find necessarily that you have to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, right? Midlo Ka'amar and Pasak Koz LaRosh. The Gemara didn't say in Pasak Koz LaRosh. Every once in a while, the Gemara Thra Mesachas Brachas, you'll find that phrase. If you're a Posek, or in Ta'a, you made a mistake with the. With the Mashur Ramar Geshem Chozol Rosh. Every once in a while you'll hear that. Comes up in test by Betchin. Then we didn't say that here. So Tosis assumes the fact that we didn't specify that, the silence implies that that's not what you do. The Tchilos HaBracha Miyayach, so you go back to the beginning of the Bracha. It says, and then he goes on to say, the first three Brachas, Magen Avraham, Machayim Esim, and Atta Kadosh, count as one. The last three brachas, Ritzei, Modin, and Simshon, count as one. That's a Gemara, Olam Adal, Olam Adal. Okay. So, the Tosa says, in a case where you were supposed to be posek, you're supposed to stop, so Ashrecha that you stopped, you did the right thing. And you didn't ruin your Shema Esrei entirely, just resume with the bracha in the middle of it. Don't, as it's Kabba Shofar, Gadol Cheir, Seinu, the Son Ace, and then he sees a scorpion, he runs away. So don't pick up with Lekabez Kli Yosein. Go back to the word Tekab Hashom. Go back to the beginning of that bracha. But the preceding, whatever it is, 8-10 brachas, from Magen Avraham to Baruch Aleinu, those are all intact and good and whole. You stop and look Tekab Hashom, you gotta start again once everything settles down, and safety, you return to safety, so then start again from the beginning of Tekab Hashom. That's what Tosas says. But Beis Yosef points out that not everyone agrees with Tosas. Tosas says, you will posik, just go back to the bracha. Mafsik, Shmoneh Esrei, go back to the bracha that you were mafsik. And it didn't ruin, the hetzik doesn't ruin your whole Shmoneh Esrei. Tosas said, Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch, right on the side of the tour, he thinks that they are one to show them who distributed Tosfos. Who? Meir Gershom. What did Meir Gershom say? What did Meir Gershom say? And Meir Gershom says, you go back to the very beginning of the Shemasre. Oh! So the Vezosa says, oh! A machalikis. Okay, not a steer. Rishonim can disagree with each other. If Meir Gershom is a Rishon, he can disagree with Tosfos. The Ravid is a Rishon, he can disagree with Tosfos. But the Beis Yosef says, I lined up a whole bunch of other, we just looked at a Tosfos. There are many other Rishonim who agree with Tosfos. The Beis Yosef says, a machlokes, if there's a hefsek in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you go back to the Beis Yosef, or just go back to the bracha the hefsek was in, we should pass on like Tosfos. Let's take a look inside. Here's the Beis Yosef. Tosfos Rabbeinu, David Abudraham, or Abudraham, however you should pronounce it, or Abudraham. He was, that was his Arabic last name. The Sefer is called by his last name. The Sefer Avudram.
But who is Avudram?
David Avudram was, I believe, a Talmud of the Ramban. It was Sfardi Rishon. A Talmud either of the Ramban or the Rashbah. He wrote a Sefer on the Siddur. He wrote a Sefer on the text of the Siddur, showing how all the brachos are rooted in language of the Tanakh. And he also writes about the halachos that govern davening. How to daven, when to daven. So he quotes Avudram, the Beis Yosef says, David Avudram, quote, Zelishono, here open quote, Kosta Rabbeinu Gershom ben Bar Shlomo, Rishon Rabbeinu Gershom, not the famous Rabbeinu Gershom who made the edict against bigamy. That was a very, very early Ashkenazi Rishon, late Gaon or Rishon. This is, I believe, a Sephardi Rishon. Negeshim Bashlom. Nisha Lefanenu. Negeshim was asked the following. Shailim Sach B'Tfilah. Two guys were Davish Manasrei. Start Torah at the Mets. Milish Manasrei. The less severe question is, why don't we Torah at the Mets? The obviously far more severe question is, what are you doing Torah at Milish Manasrei? What plan are you from? The fellow, Rachman Tzlan, started having a conversation in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and Tzarech Lachzer Emlad. And then he comes back to davening, he ends his conversation, hopefully he realizes midway, what am I doing, and drops the conversation, or else, unfortunately, he finished the conversation, now he's ready to return to the Shmona Esrei. So the question is, does he have to back up the Shmona Esrei? Im chozim yachzol rosh. If he has to back up, the back all the beginning of Shmona Esrei, Ola Osa Rosh Hashachba, or just you start shmuzim mil tzkabe shofar, go back to tzkabe shofar. You pick up from the words you're up to, or the beginning of that bracha, or the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Sounds like the same question Tosfos raised. The Hei Shavnu, anyway, the Avudram, the Beis Yosef is calling the Avudram, calling Beit Gershom, that Tzarech Lachzor Rosh, gotta go back all the way to Rosh. Go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Kol Yud Ches Brachas Ke Bracha Achas Tav. Why? Because all the brachas of Shmona Esrei are single units, like one big bracha. Ayin Kaf Lamed stands for Ad Kav Lashono. Vezel Lashono is open quotes. Ad Kav Lashono is closed quotes. So the Beis Yosef says the Avudram quotes the Vayner Gershom and the Chen Kasa Baruchas Chaim, one of the Rishonim of Provence, the Shem HaRavid, probably the most famous Rishonim of Provence is HaRavid. We know the Ravid at least from Rambam and Ravid fame. So both are Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ravid. Rabbeinu Gershom, quoted by the Avudram, quoted by Beis Yosef, and the Ravid, quoted by the Aruch HaSkayim, quoted by the Beis Yosef. They both say Chozer L'Rosh. Okay. Beis Yosef says, well, that's very nice that that's the sheet of those two Rishonim, the Ravid and Rabbeinu Gershom. But we talk about Shakasavdi, I didn't copy the entire Beis Yosef. He says, look back a couple of paragraphs. I quoted what I wrote earlier, which was Tosfos, Yizbar She'en Dasa Poskim Kein. Tosfos and other Rishonim, the Beis Yosef lists other Rishonim who agree with Tosfos, that what? They're only Choser Tchila Sabracha. It says, machlokes. Stira would be if it's the same person saying both sides of the issue. It's not stira, it's machlokes. Okay. So he says, Most Rishonim paskin like Tosfos. You just go back to the beginning of the bracha. Not go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Now, what difference could there be? What difference could there be? Avu pishesh l'cha like the honey of sakas avu birshos v'ha chavi shalo birshos. It's a basically says, is it really a machlekes? Maybe it's different cases. After all, what was the case Rabbi Gershon was talking about? Shmuzi, right? Sach. Conversation. Were you allowed to do that?
No.
No. What case is Tosfos talking about? Sakana, right? Akrav. Or Melech Nachri. Sakana. Were you allowed to stop? Yeah, you're mechuyev to stop. You're not allowed to continue davening Shmoneh Esrei if your life is in danger. Came up in our community a couple weeks ago. The fire alarm went off the first morning of Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of near the beginning of Chazar Shachar. And at that point we weren't sure. There was definitely not a planned drill. That's for sure. Just Rosh Hashanah in the morning. The alarm went off. So that's a real safa sakana. There may be a fire in the building. So we immediately, that one left, including the chasr, was in the middle of Chazar Sashat, took it all to the Sefer Torah, and there were people still davening Shmoneh Esrei. Actually, I didn't leave the shul until there's one older fellow who was still davening Shmoneh Esrei. I had to convince him that he needed to leave and continue the Shmoneh Esrei. That's it. Get out to safety, and then, like going back to your point, get out to safety, and then continue the Shmoneh Esrei. I'm sorry?
Continue from where?
Good question. Continue from where? So we did. I didn't detail the chazan. They came back to start again from the beginning of the bracha, which was the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. He's still in the middle of the first bracha. Takes a while on Rosh Hashanah. So the Beis Yosef says, well, maybe you'll tell me this is. If you're allowed to make a hafsek, it's birshus, it was permitted, so then just go back to the beginning of the bracha. But if it wasn't permitted, you're schmoozing with no good rationale, so then have to go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, right? But the Beis Yosef says, I don't like that. Nikamakam near the Eino Inyin Lechai Balach Lerosh. Why should that matter? I don't know, I would have thought, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. I mean, if you're allowed to, it's not not such a hafsek. So what's the Beis Yosef saying? He says, I'm not going to save Rabbeinu Gershon by saying that it's different based on whether it was mutter or not. Can you give me a source that indicates that if it was mutter, then it's okay? That's not such a hafsek? Something we learned together this year? Gemara and Brachas?
Yes.
Gemara later in Brachas? Gemara in our Ian Parak?
Yeah, yeah.
Top of that mem, I'm at Av Maseches Bracha. Gemara says, what? I make a hamotzi, and then I realize I don't have a knife with which to cut my bread. I realize I don't have the salt for the bread. Or I realize I can't eat the bread because the animals have not yet been fed, and I can't eat until the animals are fed. So it's not a hefsek to say, please bring me the knife. It's not a hefsek to say, please feed the animals. So here you see, it's mutter, not a hafsek.
Here's not a hafsek, which is a mutter.
Oh, very good. There is not a hafsek because the Gemara point over there is exactly, it's relevant to the topic, it's germane to the topic. You're making a bracha and eating on your bread and eating your bread, so the things you need for the eating are, that's not hafsek. That's part of the topic. Hafsek means you're interfering, intercepting with some other topic. So the Gemara there was saying, if it's relevant to what you're doing, to what you're making the bracha on, that's not a hefsek at all. That's part of what you're doing. Here, you are allowed to and even obligated to run away in Milyon Shmoneh Esrei if there's a suffix of a fire in the building, or if there's a potentially poisonous scorpion. You of course you have to run away, but it still is a hefsek. It's not an Indian hatzfilah. It's not that I was. It's not relevant. It just pikuach nefesh is doch hatzfilah, but it is a hefsek. That's presumably what the Beis Yosef is saying. Mutter or aser, but either way, it was a hefsek. It was a hefsek. So what Rabbi Gershom is saying, we're like penalizing you because you did an aveira of shmuzin, so you get a slap, and we're going to penalize you and make you repeat more shmon esrei. That doesn't sound like a kanas. That sounds like a bracha vatala. Either is a hefsek or it's not a hefsek. Mutzer asr should be irrelevant. That's presumably what the Beis Yosef is saying. So we have three problems. Number one, the Shita Rambam, Kavana Veshar Brachos. Kavana and the rest of Shema Esrei is a Ma'akev or not. Steering Gemaras, and the Rambam doesn't seem to have solved it by saying the two Gemaras are the same thing. And Perek Dalet, he says, it's Ma'akev throughout. And in Perek Yud, he says, not Ma'akev. Only first brach, kavan, and the rest, be grandpa. Markevis or ain't Markevis? That was problem, kash number one. Kash number two was avoda shevelev. Why is it, how does that equal tefillah? If it doesn't equal karbanos, then why is tefillah avoda shevelev any more than karbanos? They both involve a lev, but their primary organ is the yad or the peh. And especially a problem according to the Rambam, because the Rambam understands that this is not merely an asmachta. This is mamish what the pasuk means on the level of deraisa. Not even drasha, mamish pshul shal mikra, one of the tarik mitzvah tarik. So that's kasha number two. And the kasha number three is Rebbeinu Gershom. Rebbeinu Gershom and the Raivin, these two Rishonim who the Beis Yosef quoted as saying, Sach, if you spoke, Chozer LaRosh. You have to go back to the beginning. Well, why? Why not, like Tosis said, just go back to the bracha that you're in the middle of? The fact that it was Asur to do it, that shouldn't really matter. Oh. All these three problems, and more also, may yield to the same solution. And the truth is, the answer lies in actually opening up a Rambam and taking a careful look. Let's go back to the very first kasha. The very first kasha. Let me ask you a simple question. No, it's like such a simple question that we sort of took it for granted. We jumped right into the sugya of Kavana, the Tefillah, and we assumed that we knew what we meant by Kavana. So, let me ask you a question. So let's say you want to work on your Kavana. Probably many of us have thought about that, and probably many of us are thinking about that this week. I'd like to have more Kavana in my davening. So let's say you want to have more kavanah davening. First you identify your goal, and then you figure out, if you know your destination, you try to figure out the path to get there. Okay? And you have your goals, now you try to plan, what tools do I need, what strategies, what methods am I going to use to get to that goal of greater kavanah in tefillah? So what's a thing that you might use to help you have more kavanah in tefillah?
Understand the words.
An English sitter, right? Or maybe even any sitter. Pay more attention to what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying, know what it means. Right? Oh, good. Now let's take a look at a Rambam. That's what I would have said also. Until, not only did I look at the Rambam, until the client showed me I looked at the Rambam. Let's go back to the Rambam Karatel. The very, very, very beginning. The Rambam that's called, the first group Rambam, is called Daf Lamed. And we should draw markers. Atzilah, Kavan, Salev, and Ma'akev. Last time we only learned Parag Dalach, it says Vav, where he says Kavan Saleh Ketzad, Kol Tzvi Hashem Kavan in the Tefillah. Remember, we were bothered by that also. Why does he have to make an essential statement? The Tefillah Kavan isn't Tefillah at all. And then he goes on to say practically in this Vav, below Kavan, for this Vav, the Kavan. Therefore, if you daven that Kavan, you have to re-daven. Obviously, if it doesn't count, so you have to redo it. And what do you mean it's not a Tefillah at all? Well, surprisingly, it's Tefillah, it's missing Kavan. And he goes on to say, as the Gemara says in Daf Lamed, that a person has to self-assess before davening. Mata daitim shabashim li botard. I reckon if I realize that my head is all over the place, also on this follow-up to Zashim Daito, don't just jump into Shema Esrei. Compose yourself first and then start Shema Esrei. He says that fellow was anxious, the fellow was exhausted, or even we gave a relatively minor example, you run in late to Mincha. Catch your breath, stop, focus, and then done. Oh, okay. Then, halacha test zayin. We had not looked at halacha tazayim mezbah. Keifer hiya kavana. What does this kavana look like exactly? Huh? $1 million question. What is kavana? You clear your lathe, your mind, your heart of all extraneous thoughts. And you visualize as though you're standing in the presence of Ribbono Shel Olam, or in the presence of light that indicates a heightened presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam goes on to say, Lafika, therefore, since that's Kavana, and since Kavana is so critical, so Tzarech Leishev Ma'atko and Matfila, don't just start diving right away. Shmoy us right away. You have to, you come in, Shashul, sit down, compose yourself, Kidei L'chaven Es Libo, so that you can focus your lathe, and then and then you daven with calm, not rushing, and betachanunim with a real sense of making bakashas, not just like if you couldn't find a parking spot, you went to the mall, you couldn't find a parking spot close to the buildings. You parked all the way, you found a parking spot, a 7-minute walk away from the store. It's kind of the store with a lot of bags. So you're huffing and puffing, but the bags are heavy. The time you get to the car, like, whoa, you can't wait to pop open the trunk and just toss the bags in. Well, such a schlep. I want to get rid of it. So Rama quotes from Chazal, davening shouldn't be that way. Davening should not be the heavy bags that you're carrying. You can't wait to chuck them. No, I'm engaged. This is where I want to be. What was missing from this whole discussion of what does Kavana look like?
The words.
He didn't say. There was only one line in which he defined Kavana. The first line of Tazayin. You fall asleep in Kavana. Show us you clear your mind of extraneous thoughts. That's the lead up to Kavana. And the Kavana itself is Yira Atzmo Ki'ilu Ha'omid Lepnei Hashchina. You visualize as though you're standing face to face with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then after that was the Lafika of practical things to do to help make Kavana happen. But he never said anything about the words. Yeah?
I mean, it doesn't make sense in a large sense because, like, standardized davening wasn't always around. For a long time, people would just go up and say what they wanted to do. And when it was like that, the kavanah that you had was all about what you're trying to tell Hashem yourself. The words of davening now are made in a certain way in order to help with that because, like, we're not so good at making things up. So,
you know, it
doesn't matter.
Yaakov makes a good point. Such a good point. As a matter of fact, the Rambam makes that point in Perek Aleph. We had looked at halachas Aleph and Beis of Perek Aleph, or halacha Aleph at the very least. See, included in the smaller font, halachas Gimel and Dalet, he talks about the history of tefillah. And right, for the first 1,000 years of Jewish history, Rambam said the Rambam holds the chi of tefillah daraisa, but doesn't think that Shmona Esrei in particular is daraisa. Shmona Esrei is one of many ways one can fulfill the chi of daily tefillah. And he says, for the first 1,000 years of Jewish history, it was more freestyle. Everyone davened. You picked what you wanted to say. Some people said more. Some people said less. And then, at the time of Ezra, about 1,000 years after Maamar Sinai, Ezra said we need to, there were sociological changes the Rambam describes, and necessitated formalizing a... right here in the top of this page, Perek Aleph, Halachas Gimel and Dal. Oh. So what do we have? The Rambam says, Kavana doesn't really mean thinking about the words. What you and I would have thought. Kavana means archstroke. Kavana means sacks. Kavana means burn down. Whatever sin you like. Kavana means knowing what the words mean. Rifa'ena, I would think Kavana means the Rifa'ena. You're thinking about the people who need sick, ill people who need health. Or healthy people that we should stay healthy. Baruch Eleni, you're thinking about financial stability. And Atachonin, you're thinking about having the smarts to pass the test, having the smarts to learn well, having the smarts to deal with difficult situations, and so on and so on. Tzkab HaShofar, you're thinking about Mashiach. Esemach Davar Abdecha, you're thinking about Mashiach. V'la Mashinim, you're thinking about Oyvei Amcha, how HaKadosh Baruch should deal with our enemies, and so on and so forth. The Rambam, though, that we could call Kavanas Pirush Hamilos, Kavana for what the words mean. But the Rambam doesn't mention that in Perek Dalet. What the Rambam mentions said is something else. Not knowing what the words mean, but being aware of the fact that you're in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch. So Reb Chaim suggests the following. You know why the Gemara had two different things to say about Kavana?
So the other Rishonim said, they really only said one thing about Kavanah, you just have to put the two pieces together. One just explained the other. But the Rambam didn't seem to say that. The Rambam put them in two different places, and those are two different topics. The Rambam says that's because they are two different topics. The same word Kavanah is focus, concentration, directive thinking. But what's the content of your Kavanah? What are you thinking about? So the Rambam says, Kavanah's pir shamilis. That's the second Gemara coin Rambam. That's very good. Kavanah's Pirush Shemilas is obviously important, but only critical in the first bracha. Let's go on down the dalit. Ideally, you should be thinking throughout the Shemana Esrei. It was a little embarrassing to mouth words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't know what you're saying. They say, related to the Baditchev, that I mentioned over Sukkot. He was the one always. Oh, he saw the best in people. So supposedly, it was once a Jew who was davening was less than ideal, and he came into Lady Yitzchak's shtibel, shul, whatever it was, and his davening was mumbling all the words. It wasn't even necessarily pronounced all the words properly. So one of the Lady Yitzchak's real talmidim, one of the chassidim, said, "Rabbi, what is this?" Leipzig says, he looks with his Leipzig style eye, and he says, "Can we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a parent?" Avinu Malkeinu. He says, "You have a little baby, can't even speak yet. The parents, within a couple of months, understand what different types of cries mean. You learn within a couple of months, and even a couple of weeks. This type of crying means I'm hungry. That type of crying means I need a fresh diaper. And that type of crying means spend time with me. And this type of crying means I need to sleep." So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu. Okay, so he's not even pronouncing the words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sense of it. But then the Kedushalei went on to say, but of course, why do you want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like an infant child if you could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a mature child? Yes. If you're mumbling the words, will still mean something to your Baruch Hu? Yes. But obviously, that's not ideal. And obviously, not in terms of enunciating the words, but in terms of what's going on mentally, cognitively, okay. If I went through the Shemana Esrei, I wasn't beyond the first bracha. I wasn't thinking what the words meant. Was a Yotzei Shemana Esrei? Yes. Is it impressive? Mm-hmm. Obviously not. And that's what the Gemara says. That's the Rambam. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara. That's the Rambam understood. That's how the Rambam understood. The Gemara on Lamda Aleves. The Kapir Shavilas is very, very important throughout the Shemana Esrei, right? But it's only Ma'akev in the first bracha.
Is it because the Shemana Esrei phrase Hashem in more broad terms?
Good, perhaps. So again, so the Reb Chaim suggests the second Gemara, the second Rambam, is Kavanas Pirish Hamilos. While the first Gemara and the first Rambam, Lamanam and Beis, is, as Rambam says explicitly, Kavanas Omeid Lefnei Hashem. Oh, so that already is a very nice issue. And now everything is beginning to fit into place. Gemara made two different statements, which unlike Tosas, the Rambam understood, we're talking about two different topics. And therefore he put them in two different places.
One of them is
the
Kavanah
Omeid Lefnei Hashem, that's to be aware of the fact that you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first Kavanah in Perek Dal, the Rambam, based on Brachas Daf Lamed. And that one, the rules for that one are, it's Ma'akev throughout the Shemana Esrei. Whereas the second Kavanah is the topic of Lamedal and Beis, Rambam Perek Yud, and that is Kavanas Pirish Hamilos. Now, it's not just a question of what the rules are. If you look more sensitively at the language and the placement of the Rambam, you notice also, he had said in talking about the first Kavanah, remember he had said not just Lemaisa practically, if you miss that Kavanah you have to redaven, be it said fundamentally, called Tefillah She'ein Be Kavanah Ein Tefillah. This is something very, very fundamental to what it means to daven. You daven without awareness of Lefnei Hashem, it's not a daven at all. Wow. While Pirush Hamilos, if you look at the context of Perek Yud, Perek Yud is all about details of davening. He starts, Perek Yud opens with, you missed Kavan in the first bracha, you have to be chozer. Then he goes on to talk about
if you left out Mashiach Mordagashem, the same time of the Bracha, it's all like the nitty-gritty implementation details of important details of Shema Yisrael. It's very clear from the Rambam's positioning and language that Pirush HaMilas is a detail, an important detail, but it's a detail. It's not essential to what Tefillah is. Whereas he could not have been clearer that the first Kavana, Kol Tefillah She'ein the Kavana Ein Tefillah, it isn't Tefillah unless you have this Kavana, which is really itself very striking. You might wonder already. Okay, so Reb Chaim gave me a chiluk. It's not a stira because this is talking about X and that's talking about Y. But an aspiring lamdim should not be satisfied with mere description. He should see explanation. He should not be said, aspiring lamdim should not be satisfied just sort of plugging in, well, I have a chiluk, this and that. Why? Why does it make sense that Kavanat Omer Lefnei Hashem is ma'akev throughout, while Pirush HaMilas is only ma'akev in the first bracha, especially, what's the hezber for the chiluk? The chiluk was kavana X and kavana Y. But why does X line up with this set of dinim and Y lines up with that set of dinim? What's the hezber of the chiluk? Especially since I asked you before, and it was more or less unanimous, that when we think of kavana, at least until we see this Rambam with Reb Chaim, kavana means knowing what you're saying. And that makes sense. I mean, you're talking to God, you should know what you're saying. So why is it that Pirush HaMilas is substandard? Lefnei Hashem, not substantive. Pirush HaMilas is like an important footnote, but Lefnei Hashem is almost like definitional. Like it's not tefillah without amida Lefnei Hashem, without awareness of Lefnei Hashem. You didn't daven. What do you mean I didn't daven? I just sat there with a sitter. I said every single word of Shema Esrei. I didn't daven well. It was puzzle. It wasn't good enough. Don't tell me it was missing too much. I wasn't Yosef. Fine, but it wasn't tefillah. I mean, I did tefillah. If I blow a shofar, but I didn't blow the right kolos in the right order. So you'd say, you weren't Yosef Tkiya Shofar. You didn't do Tkiya Shofar properly. You can't say, I didn't blow a shofar. I blew a shofar. I did a bad job of it. So, man, maybe I did such a bad job. I wasn't Yosef because I left out some of the details. So something there's more afoot. There's more afoot. So I'll leave you for now with the following din, and you can let this percolate. Because once we figure out not just the terrors to this kasha, but the Havana of what that Teretz is telling us, then it'll begin to speak to the other kashas which at first seem to be unrelated. So let me for now just give you a piece of background information. Hilchos Shabbos. You can let this ruminate over the next couple of days. We know that there are different levels of Kavana and Averos. So a person intends to do the, knows it's wrong, intends to do the wrong thing, that's mazed, that can be punishable with the full onus, whatever it may be. Chil Shabbos, that's a kares and a skila potentially. If a person didn't realize what he was doing was wrong, he was a shogeg. He didn't realize today was Shabbos, he didn't realize you're not allowed to water plants on Shabbos. Okay, that's a less severe chayiv chatas. Still need kapar, but less. But let's say he didn't even realize what I was doing. The guy didn't realize he was watering plants. He didn't realize that he was detaching a tomato from the ground. That's called misaseik, and then you're not chayiv whatsoever. Like that first seems to be like a random din. Reb Chaim references that concept and plugs that into here, and Mirzim will see next week, everything shines.